you were telling me Wednesday that I was going to be able to preach today, I would have told you otherwise. I appreciate the prayers and the calls on checking up on me. I didn't feel well last Sunday evening, as some of you probably were aware of. And I thought I would shake it by midweek, but I went to the doctor at gunpoint. Donna finally made me go. And I'm glad she did. You know, she's always knows best along those lines, as far as I always got to make sure that I take care of myself for them. So I appreciate that. I appreciate the calls and the prayers. Ryan, you didn't know it, but you were on the hook tonight if I couldn't make it. So just one announcement that I have on a personal note. I'll be out of town. I'll be leaving out of town for about 3, maybe 4 weeks tomorrow morning. I'll be out of town going to D.C. And keep me in your prayers. Keep my family in your prayers. Check on Don and Connor from time to time if you would. We'd always appreciate that. So just want to pass that on. I didn't get a chance to get with the announcer this evening. And so if you just keep that in mind and keep us in your prayers. Lesson text for this evening will be John chapter 15. If you have a Bible, please turn there with me. I'm going to read a few verses from there. John chapter 15, starting in the first verse. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he takes it away. And every branch that bears fruit, he cleans it, that it may bear more fruit. Already ye are clean because of the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, so neither can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abides in me, and I in him, the same beareth much fruit. For apart from me, ye can do nothing. If a man abides not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered. And they gather them, and they cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my word abides in you, and my words abide in you, ask whatsoever ye will, and it shall be given unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, and so shall ye be my disciples. Even as the Father hath loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments, and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be made full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another, even as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends, if ye do the things which I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard from my Father I have made known unto you. Ye did not choose me, but I chose you, and appointed you that ye should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should abide, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command you, that ye may love one another. The branches are in the vine. We're not talking about churches in the vine. We're talking about Christians, individual Christians in Christ Jesus. And the only way that you can become a branch in the vine is to believe in Jesus as God's Son. And upon that faith, you are baptized into Christ. And you become one of the branches in the vine. In order for us to please God, we must be able to bear fruit. Ye cannot bear fruit unless you abide in the vine. Let the word of Christ dwell in you, be alive in you. Let it have its very presence in your life. By prayer and confessing our sins one with another to obey Christ. As long as we abide in Christ, we have Christ along with us. If I understand the Bible, there are at least three motives or three ways to obey God. First one is, one of the reasons I want to obey God is because I have to. If you have your Bibles, again, turn with Hebrews, the 12th chapter and verse 9. Hebrews 12, verse 9. It says, furthermore, we had the fathers of our flesh to chasten us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? Of course, this is talking about our physical fathers, our physical parents. I knew as I was growing up and so on that if I didn't obey my parents, I knew the consequences of it. I was in a situation where I had to, or I have to obey my parents. Sometimes I wanted to, you know, talk my way out of something, try to manipulate and position and jockey for position and so forth. But as a rule, I had to do what my parents told me to do because I had to. When it comes to God, we need to obey Him because we have to. In John chapter 2 and verse 5, we can see that the mother of Jesus, Mary, had some sort of position in this marriage feast, of a position of authority. And in John chapter 2 and verse 5, His mother saith unto the servants, whatever He saith unto you, do it. So you must do it. If Jesus tells you to do something, do it without reservation, without hesitation. You have to do it. So one of the motives of obeying God is because I have to. Now, if we again have our Bibles, I invite you to turn over to Colossians chapter 1. And we can find there, and in verse 15, or check that in verse 18, that He, according, is mentioning Christ, referring to Christ, and He is the head of the body. Colossians chapter 1, verse 18. The church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have the preeminence. So why should I obey Christ? Because He is the head of the body. Many times we hear people say, well, what does the Church of Christ have to say about it? It's not a matter of what the Church of Christ says about it. It's what Jesus has to say about it, what God has to say about it. So the church must obey Christ. And as one of the branches in the vine, I must obey Jesus Christ. John chapter 18. In there we can see that it's His kingdom. In John chapter 18, verse 36. We read there, Jesus answered, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence. So if it's His kingdom, and He's the king, and I am a citizen in that kingdom, then there is no doubt in my mind that I know I have to obey Him. As a citizen, I obey the king. So one of the secrets to obedience, one of the motives, is because I have to. He is God, He is the king, He is the Lord, and I have to obey Him. Another motive to obeying God, along with this one, is that I need to. Again, turn over to with your Bibles to Romans chapter 3, verse 23, a verse I'm sure that is very familiar to all of us. Romans chapter 3, verse 23, a short verse, but a powerful impact. For all have sinned and have fallen short of the glory of God. I'm clearly one of those mentioned in Romans chapter 3, verse 23. And I know, since I mention in this verse, that I need to obey God. People have said, why should I be baptized, or why should I do this, or why should I do that? One reason is because you need to. You have no chance on your own. Once you've sinned, you have severed. God has turned His back on you. You have violated the precepts and what the New Testament has to say. And so one of the reasons is that I need to obey God because, for example, for the spiritual blessings. In Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3, we need to obey God to receive the spiritual blessings. Sometimes this one might be referred to as a stingy motive. You know, and again, I really enjoy studying about Peter and his some of his reactions. In Matthew chapter 19 and verse 27, And I'm sure I would have been right along with Peter. I would have been right behind him, or he would have been right behind me when he said this. Matthew 19, verse 27. Then answered Peter and said unto him, Lo, we have left all and followed thee. What then shall we have? Now remember, in Mark chapter 1, Peter also had to take care of his mother-in-law, so at that point he was married. So he had a family to take care of. It's a legitimate question. When Jesus asked him to leave everything, Peter said, Well, what's in it for me? What's in it for us? You're asking us to do a whole bunch here. Well, Jesus is saying you have to do that because you need to. Sounds selfish, but maybe in one way it is. But I'm going to get something out of it. When I obey Jesus, when I obey God, what's in it for me? Well, as we talked about, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, all spiritual blessings are in Christ. If you abide in Christ as one of the branches in the vine, you will receive those blessings. So then, I need to obey God for the blessings that I receive through Him. In my opinion, the greatest motive of all is to obey God
out of love.
That's the greatest motive of all. I think that's the entire teaching of what the Bible has to say. In John chapter 14, and in verse 15, John 14, verse 15, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Again, a very small verse with a very powerful impact. Do we understand that I need to obey God just purely out of love? Not necessarily because I have to. And not just because I need to. But because I love God. In 1 John chapter 4, in verse 19, John says there, we love because He first loved us. Talk about, let's reciprocate a little bit. When Jesus came, now, understand that did Jesus have to die? Did Jesus need to die? No, He didn't have to do any of these. But He did it because out of the love that He and His Father had for us. So in John chapter 4, verse 19, we should reciprocate. We should love Him because He first loved us. Now, let me ask you a question. I have to ask me the same question. Is that, did you obey God because you had to? Well, I think we can all say that, yeah, I had to obey God because I have to. Well, did you obey God because you needed to see what you could get out of it, to receive every spiritual blessing? Well, yeah. But would you obey God if you didn't have to, or if you didn't need to, if you didn't get anything out of it? Would you obey God simply because you love Him? Now, that's something to think about. That is something to think about. I remember when I obeyed my dad one time because I was going to get the car. Yeah, you bet I was going to obey him if I was going to get the car. I was ready to obey him. But how many times did we obey our parents because we love them or through our out of respect for them? The attitude that every one of us should have or should possess, that I will keep the commandments of God simply because I love God. Would you love Him even if He didn't give you anything or promise you anything? Would you still love Him and do what He says? That's a tough one. That's a tough one. And you know, there was one person that I can think of in the Old Testament who did just that. And that's the person by the name of Job. In Job chapter 13 and verse 15, Job lost everything. Of course, we all know about the patience of Job, and amen to that. But you know, Job lost everything. He lost everything. He lost his kids. He lost his house. He lost every possession that he had. Until he was out here on the ground somewhere, and his friends, his so-called friends, came to him and tried to console him. And for 7 days, if memory serves, they were so taken by Job's condition, that they couldn't talk. They couldn't utter a word to Job because they could not believe their eyes. What does Job have to say about it? Job chapter 13, verse 15. Behold, or though he slay me, yet will I wait for him. Can you imagine that? That's the secret to obedience, is love. The highest motivation in the obedience to God is love. Love does not measure the sacrifice. In John chapter 15, verse 13, our lesson text. Again, let's roll our Bibles back over there and just see what that verse has to say again. In John 15, and verse 13. Greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Did Jesus say, what's it going to cost me? Did Jesus say, well, wait a minute, boys and girls, I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to do it. Because what's it going to cost me? It's going to cost my life. It's going to cost me my reputation. It's going to cost me bruises, bumps and bruises, scratches. It's going to cost me being spit upon. I'm not going to go through that for you. But why did he go through it? It's because he loved us. The measure of love. Love does not measure the sacrifice. When Jesus said he loved you, he didn't say, this is what it's going to cost. Or, what's it going to cost me? Christ didn't die for himself because he had no sin. But Christ gave his life for us. That's the kind of love that we need to have toward our parents, toward our brethren. You know, when our parents got older, when my folks got older, it was hard to be patient with them. And I commend the Conovers, Jeff and Sandy, and the children. And I commend others who are taking care of their loved ones. Because love does not measure the sacrifice. You talk to them. You talk to them. And if you don't think that's a sacrifice, and it's not like they're keeping score, I know that's not the case. Commendable. And I commend you publicly for doing that. A lot of people will not and will not take that upon them. But I've noticed a lot of folks here in our congregation have done that. And that's highly commendable. Love does not measure the sacrifice. I believe love is the secret to obedience because love does not measure the sacrifice. Love fulfills the law, as we read about in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5. It's always been the law of God. And why do we walk in His ways? It's because we fear Him. Loving God is the fulfillment of the law. If we love in the family life would be as God wanted it to be. I'm holding up a book of family values right here. God has instructed and told us how to live and how to conduct our lives in the eyes and in the presence of our fellow man. How to conduct our lives as children, as parents, you name it. I don't care how you want to cut it. It's here. And it depends on your measure of love and how you want to take it and how you want to apply it is the question. Because if you look around, the skirmishes and the angry words and all this and all that sometimes brethren get in touch with and get involved with, it's because of their lack of love. Love does not measure the sacrifice. If we care for each other, we need to take care of each other and not talk about each other behind our backs and not pull each other down at every opportunity just because that person's not there to defend him or herself. That's not right, brethren. That's just not right. And when we do that, that's wrong. Am I telling anybody any secrets here? I don't think so. I think it's pretty straightforward, pretty good common sense to me. But you know, God knew what he was talking about. And God set the example. He laid the plan. He took that first step. He sent his son while we were yet sinners. Getting back to the family life, if you give me a husband who loves his wife and a wife who loves her husband, there's no trouble in regard to God's order for the home life. There's no trouble. If any problem comes up, they solve it because out of their bond of love for one for another. You show me someone who quarrels and carries on, then I'll show you somebody who is not full of love. When I love God, I leave the arrangements of this life to God. Now, I'm not saying to cover up our faults or to compromise the truth. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that whatever God has set forth, let's follow it. And let's do these things out of love, not because, you know, I have to do that. I have to. Or I need to do that because it's the best thing for me. Well, sometimes that's true, but you know, if you do that out of love, everything else is taken care of. It's kind of neat how that works. It's like a, you know, it covers it all. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, you know where I was going. Starting in verse 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 1. If I speak with tongues, or with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And if I have the greatest or the gift of prophecy and know all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. But if I bestow my goods to feed the poor, and if I give my body to be burned, but not have not love, it profits me nothing. The power of love. Let me tell you something. You can do as many good works as you want. You can worship God or just come here and sing. But if you fail to do it, if out of love, you could be here Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, every time these doors are open. If you don't do it out of love, you're not going to please God. That's it. That's the bottom line. Love does not measure the sacrifice. If you give me a person who loves God, I won't have to argue with that person about being baptized or doing the will of God, to doing what's right. If you love, you will keep my commandments. Again, Jesus and God knew what they were talking about. Keep my commandments. And you know, there are consequences if you don't. But you know, we just don't want to see those. We just don't want any part of those. We just want to have fun right now. We want to be our own man or our own woman, and we don't care what it's going to cost us. We don't care about anything. Just give it to me now. All I want is just now. I don't care. Is that the attitude you have? That's the attitude that I know of something to have. Fortunately, not in the church, but in the world. I see a person like that coming, I'm going to break camp as soon as I can and just get out of here, because I don't want to be around that type of person. Paul knew again what he was talking about when he says evil companions corrupt good morals. There's a lot to be said for that. There's a lot to be said for that. So, when we obey God, let's do it out of love. Let's do it out of what God wants us to do. Not a blind faith or anything like that, but out of pure love. Let's treat our brethren correctly the way we want ourselves to be treated. That's the way it should be. That's all I have to say. If you're in the audience this evening and you want to be a branch in that vine, if you want to abide in Jesus, this is your opportunity. If you are a branch in that vine, but somehow, some way, you've been choked out a little bit, if you've fallen, the tragedy is not so much that you've fallen, it's just that you don't pick yourself up and do what you're supposed to do to get back on the right track. That's the tragedy. We can always learn from our mistakes, and that's the way it should be. And we're all here to help each other out when we need this. So we stand ready to assist anyone in the audience this evening. If you're so inclined, please come forward as we stand and sing.